Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 today. We're going to talk about things that make for peace, things which make for peace. And we'll start right here in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15. Colossians 3:15, and you'll want to mark this place because we'll be back here again. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Okay, right from there, let's go straight to Romans 14. Just get two places here as a starting place today. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. Romans 14:19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today to learn the importance of keeping peace among ourselves here in our fellowship, in our lives, and with whoever we have dealings with. Show us, Lord, why it's so important. Help us to examine ourselves today and make any corrections that need to be made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, the Bible says that not only have we been saved, placed into one body by the operation of God through His Holy Spirit, but we are in that one body expected to live at peace one with another. Now, I don't understand a lot about disease. I don't understand a lot about infections or medical things like that. But I do know that when you're sick or infirmed or diseased, it's because one part of your body or something that is residing within your body is at odds or at war with another part of your body. And it may just be one little germ. It may just be one little virus. It may just be one little wound or one little bruise, but that's all it takes to have an evil effect on the entire function and working of the body. I mean, just think about the last time you had an ingrown toenail. I mean, a toe, that's a very small member of your body, but it's amazing how much an infected toenail can affect everything you do in your body. And so the Bible says that not only are we in one body, but we are to realize that my relationship to God and my relationship to the other members of the body has an effect on the entire body of believers. If one person is out of sorts with me, it's going to affect everybody else. If one man on this side of the room is at odds with a woman on this side of the room, if one believer in the back is at odds with another believer in the front, that has an effect on the working of the entire body of believers. It's so very important. And the Bible says in Romans 14:19 that we are to follow after the things which make for peace. And that implies to me in the reading that they're trying to get away. Those things are trying to get away. Peace is on the move. Peace is fleeing. Peace is trying to run away. The Bible says in Psalm 34:14, "Seek peace and pursue it." Peace is on the run. Peace is taking wings and it's trying to fly away. And, you know, most young preachers, they're so naive that they think that when God called them to preach that they were just going to be preaching and teaching the Bible. They're going to find out, though, that they're going to be spending 90% of their time taking this person by the hand, taking this person by the hand, and saying, "Now, come on, let's get this thing worked out. Come on, let's get back together. Come on, it's not all that bad as you're making it." Okay? In many cases, 90% of the responsibilities of the ministry is just trying to keep the peace. And you know what the devil's work is? You know what that tells me? That 90% of the devil's work is to cause trouble and strife and division and discontentment and setting one person at odds against another person and getting somebody's feelings hurt and getting somebody to take something the wrong way or getting somebody to catch another person feeling bad and or in a bad mood and getting their feelings hurt and going off on a tiff. You know, that's the devil's work. And the Bible says you've got to follow after peace because it's on the move. It's trying to get away from you. You got to do everything in your power to say, wait, I don't want to fight. I don't want to strive. I don't want controversy. I don't want to be at odds with my brother. I want peace in this body of Christ. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to make up our minds, each and every one of us. You know, never mind what the other person does. Never mind what the other person says. Never mind how the other person acts. I'm going to do everything in my power to keep peace within the body of Christ. I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure my heart is right with God and every one of my brothers and sisters in the Lord, no matter what they do. Okay, I'm going to do my best. Now, you know, a lot of people, they talk all the time. They say, boy, did you hear about such and such a church? They had a split over there last week. They didn't have a split last week. They had a split 3 or 4 years ago. And instead of getting right with God and patching that thing up, they let it stay until it got wider and wider and wider and more people got involved in that thing. The split finally manifested itself, but it's that I'm telling you, it started way back there where one man got upset with another. And when one woman got upset with another, when one brother got upset with another brother in Christ, when one individual got upset with the minister, that thing started way back there and grew and grew and grew and grew until one day it was so big you couldn't cover it up and you couldn't hide it anymore. Amen. The Bible said what we ought to do, we ought to strive, each and every one of us, to keep the peace. And we're going to look in the Bible at seven things that make for peace. Seven things in the Bible that make for peace. So let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And then we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Romans 12 and 1 Peter 3. The first thing that makes for peace is a pacific spirit. You ever heard that? That word? A pacific spirit. You thought that was just used for the ocean, didn't you? pacific, it means calm, pacified, passive. Okay? A pacific spirit. Romans 12, verse 18, the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The first thing that makes for peace, the first thing that keeps the peace, is I do everything in my power to be at peace with you. I do everything as much as lies within me. I go as far as I can possibly go. I go the second mile if I have to keep peace with you, not just with saved men, but with all men, with all men. That's what it says. All right, now, you know, the easiest thing in the world to do is to have a fight or an argument or a quarrel or a disagreement. That's the easiest thing in this world to do. And, you know, about the hardest thing in this world to do is to stay on good terms with a number of people. Now, you know, things have been going pretty good here. Most of us, we've been here a while, and we've gotten to know each other pretty well over the years. We've gotten to know each other's quirks and problems and our little idiosyncrasies and habits and things that bother one another. And that's good. That's good. You know, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. You know, let me know about your little weird things that you do so that when I see it, I don't take offense, you know. But it says confess your faults one to another. It never said to confess your sin. But the Bible says confess your faults one to another. One person gets his feelings hurt because he spoke to a woman and she didn't answer. Oh, she's stuck up. She's just ignoring me. No, she's deaf. That's one of her faults. She's deaf. She's hard of hearing. She didn't hear you. She didn't ignore you. She just didn't hear you. You say, another guy says, boy, that fella, he's always a grouch. Well, what you didn't know is he's had cancer for the last 4 years. You say, boy, that fella, I saw him falling asleep during the sermon. Well, what you didn't know is that he was out dealing with someone with a broken up family last night till 2 a.m. And he got up at 5 and went to work before he came to church. So what I'm saying is we can always find some reason for disagreement. We can always find some occasion to get our feelings hurt. We can always find something that someone did that we didn't like. But what if we went farther? What if we sought a way to overlook that, or a way to overcome that, or a way to, if the situation is not right, a way to make it right? What if we did everything in our power to get along instead of letting the least little thing be an excuse not to get along? There are people who go from church to church to church, and everywhere they go, there's trouble, according to them, because they can always find something that isn't right. You know, after a little while, you'd think they'd wake up and say, wait a minute, maybe it's me that's not right. Maybe everywhere I go, it stinks because I got Limburger cheese stuck in my nose. You know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it might not be the environment, it might be me. You know something, you can walk out of here today and have a list of 20 things to gripe about on the way home, that things that weren't exactly the way you think they should have been, or this person did that, or this person didn't live up to that. Again, that's easy. That's the flesh, the devil, Adam, sin nature. That's easy. Anybody can do that. Well, what about, instead of that, what about walking in the Spirit? What about God Almighty looking down through eternity and seeing me dead in trespasses and sins, in rebellion, living in wickedness, hating and despising the Word of God, and turning to His Son and saying, well, what do you think about that fellow? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I think I'll shed my blood and die to save his soul because I love him. How about that? You talk about wanting peace. You talk about doing everything in your power to make something right. Now, I was as wrong as a man could be. He was as right as could be. But he went as far as he could to bring peace between himself and myself. Now, that's the right way. That's the way to go. That's the example right there. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you. You got any strength in you to make peace? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Okay, now, do you want to love life? Seek peace. Do you want to enjoy life? Try getting along with people. Amen. Listen, I work with them. You work with them. Everybody knows somebody. Everybody's got somebody in the family. You work with them. Everybody knows somebody, somebody that every time they open their mouth, they're running somebody down. Okay? Every time they speak, they're criticizing somebody or something. Every time they go to church, they've got something bad to say about the way the singing was conducted, or the way the preacher preached, or the way he said a certain thing, or the way somebody dressed. And you know as well as I do, those are the most unhappy, miserable people you ever met in your life. And you don't want to be around them. they are not enjoying life. They can find fault. They can figure out ways not to get along with people, but they are not enjoying life. I'll be honest with you, friends. I want to have a good time. As a matter of fact, I'm just downright carnal, I guess. I want to have as good a time as I possibly can getting through this life. And I know that my joy, I know that my pleasure, I know that my happiness in life is dependent upon not only my relationship to God, but my relationship with you. And I'm going to try every way in this world, I'm going to try to the best of my ability to keep peace between you and myself. Amen. Now, we ought to do that. We ought to just get up in the morning and say, I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a way to make peace today. I'm looking for a way to help somebody get along with somebody else today. I'm looking for a way to be a blessing to somebody and not a grief to them. Amen. All right, the second thing is a sense of proportion. I'm going to kill myself if I don't do something. There. A sense of proportion. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 3. First Timothy 6:3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Okay? Doting about questions. You got to have a sense of proportion. Friends, if a man doesn't believe this Bible, well, he's wrong. And there's no ground for fellowship there. If a man doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, he's not a saved man, and there's no ground for fellowship there. If a man doesn't believe that salvation is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's wrong. He's a heretic. There's no basis for salvation there. If a man believes mosquitoes are a form or a type of unclean spirits, and you don't, who cares? If one man believes UFOs are satanic and another man believes they're just comic book creations, what difference does that make in the overall scheme of things, you know? Look, I've got opinions about a lot of things. I got ideas about things you may not have ever thought of yet. But I know what's important and what's not. I know what is foundational and essential to the Christian life and what's not. And I'm just saying, the last thing we need is another bunch of Christians running around preaching against worldly cars and wire-rimmed glasses and cowboy boots while the world is going to hell. That's the last thing we need, is people dividing Christians over things that couldn't make any less difference. You got to know what matters and what doesn't matter. You got to know what is essential and what's not essential. We've got to know what's worth taking a stand on and what's worth talking about and laughing about with some brothers around the dinner table and leave it at that. Amen. You know, and these, you hear the weirdest thing sometimes, you know. Will you leave your blood on the ground at the rapture? Or will it just disappear? Or will you take it up to heaven with you and get it changed up there? You know, who cares? Are you going? Are you saved and ready to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes? That's what matters. That's the important thing. Amen. What Christians are separating over the silliest things, you know, wearing blue jeans, having salt in the communion bread, believing in a flat earth is the latest thing I've heard. Well, you don't have to agree with those people about those things, but if you're going to keep the peace, you'll do what you can to not offend people who believe something you don't believe. You know, don't wear blue jeans in church. Don't buy salty bread for the communion if you know it's going to offend somebody. Don't laugh at people with different beliefs. You know, can you imagine someone coming to church and they say, well, I believe the Bible. I believe the fundamentals of the faith. I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm looking for a Bible-believing church to have my family in. And then they leave because you used the wrong kind of bread in the Lord's Supper. I say, Brother Bob, what do you do in a case like that? Well, I'm for peace, so I just don't ask them to come back. Friends, all of us have opinions. All of us have ideas. Not only that, we're Bible believers, and we call our opinions convictions, right? And that makes our opinions sound spiritual. And I would never take your convictions away from you. In fact, I don't have much respect for people who don't have convictions. But let's realize that we stand on what is important, and we don't need to divide over what is not important. And let's have a sense of proportion. Amen. You know, there are preachers, they stand up and they say, all right, folks, you better have a King James Bible. Let me tell you something else. I don't want to see Bibles with red covers on them or blue covers either. I want a black back 66. And well, man, why don't you make sure it's real India ink too, you know? And I mean, does it have to be genuine cowhide or buffalo hide? Or is imitation leather okay? You know, weird. Why is that important? You know? See, there's always something to argue about. There's always something to disagree over. Let's not be doting about questions that just lead to strife and contentions. One preacher I know found himself in a church where they were more concerned about the chandeliers than they were about the preaching and the teaching and the actual Christian service. It was just constant strife and bickering and warnings and you better not from a bunch of unhappy people. It's ridiculous the things that Christians find to fight about. All it is just yielding yourself to the devil when you do that stuff. Walk in the Spirit. Look, we don't have that much time to spend together, right? How often do we see each other? You know, we don't get to fellow with each other that much. Let's keep it centered on the things that matter, not on what doesn't matter. Amen. All right, thirdly, come to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. I'll tell you something else that makes for peace. The third thing that makes for peace is patience. Patience. Proverbs 25. And then we'll go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 25 and Proverbs 16. Let's talk practically for a minute. You got children, some of you. You love those children. And the more time you spend with those children, the more they get on your nerves. And the more they get on your nerves, the more you tend to get into the flesh and do the wrong thing. Amen. When you get to be grandparents, it's even worse because you're not used to them being around all the time. The extra noise makes you nervous. The extra disruption makes you extra nervous. And you know what happens? You get saved. You get in church. And you forget. That fella, he may be 40 years old, but he's a child in the Christian life. Okay? That woman, she may be 30 years old, but she's a baby in Christ. And you're going to have to be patient. There will be diapers to change. There will be wake-up calls in the middle of the night. There will be messes that are made. There will be things that are broken. There will be lessons that will have to be taught over and over and over and over again. You've got to be patient if you're going to live in peace or be at peace and get along. All right, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 8, "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame." So it's better just to back off and let the thing settle down. You run out there and you say, "I'm going to settle this thing right now." You might get yourself settled right now. You might just want to let it lie a little while. Remember that fellow back in the Old Testament, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria? He was sitting around before a battle one night, and he sends word to King Ahab. He says, "I'll tell you what, we're going to go out there tomorrow, and we're going to meet you on that battlefield, and we're going to wipe you out." And old King Ahab, the king of Israel, he sent word back to him, and he said, "You better not boast when you're putting on your harness like you boast when you're taking off your harness." The battle might not go the way you expect it to go. And sure enough, it didn't. Ben-Hadad got himself whipped, and they lost the battle out there. That's in 1 Kings 20. Look in Proverbs 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16:32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." You may not believe this, but I was a skinny little kid when I was in elementary school and junior high school. And one thing I learned on the playground way back then was that the best thing to do was not to put up my fists. The best thing to do was to figure out a way to talk about it. You stall for time. You do everything in your power to put the thing off until Superman shows up or the teacher comes to rescue you. Now, a lot of those arguments, a lot of those strifes, a lot of those contentions, a lot of those battles, a lot of those things you thought, "I'm going to get this straightened out right now," you could have just slept on the thing. You could have just given that a couple of days in the prayer closet. If you'd have just left the thing with the Lord and let Him sort it out, you might be surprised at how much easier and properly the Holy Spirit worked that thing out for you. You just might be surprised. Just be patient. I'll tell you something else Christians do. Here's a saved man. He's going along. He's wrong about a certain thing because God just never showed it to him yet. And then he goes on for 10 years, 15 years doing that same thing. And one day he hears a sermon. Or he's reading his Bible, or God speaks to his heart, and he says, I've been wrong about that. I got to get that thing right. And he does. And by the grace of God, he does everything he can to fix that in his life. But the problem is, the next Sunday morning, he walks into church, and God help the man that's guilty of that thing he was guilty of before. Because this guy, he's going to jump on him with both feet and say, "Hey, buddy, that's wrong. That's a sin. Why don't you change? Why don't you straighten that thing out? You got to get right with God right now." Well, wait a minute. It took you 15 years And here you are demanding everybody else see what it took God 15 years to show you the day after you saw it, or else they're not right with God? That's not right. Someone comes to church for 2 years with long hair growing down his back, and God gets a hold of him, and he gets under conviction, goes and gets a haircut, and starts looking for people with hair that's touching their collar or touching their ear so that he can rebuke them for being unspiritual and ungodly. Well, hey, wait a minute. Slow down. Give that man the same time that God gave you. Give that sister the same time God gave you. Give that individual the same grace God gave you. You know what the Bible said? Jesus said this in Matthew 7:2. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. He said the way you judge others, that's the way you're going to be judged and dealt with. Well, I want God to be patient with me. I want God to give me plenty of time to get things worked out. Christians go to their pastor all the time. They say, Pastor, when are you going to preach on this subject or that subject? The pastor says, well, if you're interested, I can come over to your house and have a Bible study on that. Oh, no, it's not for me. And what they mean is, I'm sick and tired of waiting for that person to get right as right with God as I am. Well, for your information, we never have those kinds of sermons around here. I don't let people dictate to me what I'm going to preach, and we're not going to do that. Okay? Never mind what you think the other fellow needs. Why don't you give him the same time that God has given you? Amen. You got to be patient. Relax. Let things settle down. Let God do his work. Amen. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 12. Oh, verse 1, I'm sorry. Got a typo. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Fourth thing that makes for peace is gracious speech. Gracious speech. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay, I come to you and I say, Brother, how you doing today? You say, well, Brother Bob, I've been meaning to tell you, last Monday night when you were preaching online there, you made a terrible mistake. And I just wanted to point it out to you. And, you know, I don't think you meant it. I think it's just the way you said something, maybe. Now, I can do one of two things. I can say, who do you think you are questioning the man of God? And we've got a big problem on our hands. Or I can say, Brother, I appreciate that. I know I'm not all I need to be or and want to be. Show me that problem. Let's look at it. It would be a big difference, wouldn't it, in our relationship? Now, you could say what you want, but if you go out to the streets and you're going to tell somebody about the Lord and they're walking by on the sidewalk and you got a gospel tract in your hand and you step in front of them and you say, hey, why don't you take a minute on your way to hell and before you burn like a piece of cheap bacon, why don't you read this gospel tract? Well, I guess that's better than not being out there and not doing anything, but that's a toss-up. Or you could say, pardon me, I know you're busy, but I'd like to leave you with this. Just take it with you and read it in your spare time. It's just a little gospel tract about the Lord Jesus Christ. Which one of those two people do you think is going to get somebody mad? Probably the first guy, right? Because that method never works. Amen. Now, just a little word to the wise, and this probably doesn't even need to be said, but ladies, if he comes home in a sour mood and he's nasty, and I mean, the best thing to do is to be double nice, not give him double back what he's given you. You say, well, he ought to get right with God. And I'm telling you, if you tell him that, you're just asking for trouble. And gentlemen, same thing. She's in a lousy mood. She's out there somewhere, I guess, and some woman you don't recognize is in your house when you come home. You know, you say, where'd you come from? Where's the sweet woman that was here when I left to go to work this morning? Don't make it worse by rubbing the wound. Soft answer. Soft answer. How many of you found out when the policeman pulls you over for speeding, if you put up an argument, you're going to pay twice as much? Now, you know as well as I do that you can provoke somebody to wrath, not with what you say, but just with the way you say it. You know that. And the Bible says we ought to try and make peace. We ought to speak kindly to one another. We ought to speak graciously to one another. We ought to look for ways to edify and bless instead of ways to annoy. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Some people, every time they say something to you, seems like they're trying to hurt you with their words, you know, and they mean to hurt you. And their words, I don't know if they're calculated or if they're just the person's just so full of the devil that every time you've had a conversation with that person, you go home and something has hurt your feelings. Some way or another, they've stuck a knife in you and hurt you. God help us not to be that kind of person. If you can't say something nice, the best thing to do is say nothing. Take a bit of good advice. Say nothing. Think of friendly things to say. That's the path to follow. If you think an unkind thought, just button your lip and swallow it. If you can't say something nice, say nothing. That's a good rule for keeping peace. If there's any chance at all that it might be offensive, if there's any chance at all that it might be hurtful, if there's any chance at all that it might cause strife or cause division, just tell it to Jesus. And if it's not something you feel comfortable telling the Lord about, don't say it to anybody else anywhere. Amen. Just keep it. All right. New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The fifth thing that makes for peace is submission to godly rule. Submission to godly rule. Pride and rebellion lead to trouble. Pride and rebellion lead to trouble. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, I hate to even say this. I probably wouldn't say this on a day when we've got visitors, people who don't know, don't understand, don't know me. You know there's no ego trip up here. I'm not the least bit interested in being anybody's God or master or Lord or any of the rest of that kind of stuff. And you know that, okay? You know that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You do know the labor. You know the work. You know the effort that is put in to building this church and keeping this ministry going all these years. You know that. But when you speak against me, you are being used of the devil to disrupt and destroy every aspect of this work and every aspect of this ministry. And you better just keep that fresh in your mind. I don't care if it's here. I don't care if it's at your dinner table. I don't care if it's somebody you meet on the street corner. I don't care if it's a cousin in Zambonguita. If you want to keep peace and have God's blessing continue on this work, if your heart's not right with mine, you better get right before God and get before God and get it right. Now, you heard what I said. It has nothing to do with my feelings. It has nothing to do with me wanting to be your Lord or Master or anything else. The work will suffer. Okay? Look, like it or not, I wish it wasn't that way. But I don't care if it's a nation. I don't care if it's a family. I don't care if it's a school. I don't care if it's a church. I don't care if it's a business. You know as well as I do that that thing is going to stand and fall on the leadership. Okay? You don't want to put in the hours that my wife and I put in. You don't want the responsibility my wife and I have taken on. You don't want to bear the burden we've taken upon ourselves to bear. So why don't you just support and help and encourage or button the lip? Because if the devil can use you to tear me down, you can forget anything that we're doing in here or out there. And I did not say it's all up to me. It's all up to the body, okay? But I'm part of this body. My wife is part of this body, and people think, well, I wouldn't talk down the brothers and sisters in the church, but hey, the preacher, well, that just goes with the territory. It's thinking like that that has ruined denomination after denomination and movement after movement of Christianity. Amen. Read it again. I didn't write this. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Okay. Do you know who does the work? Okay. And are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, because you like them. That's not what the Bible said. Because you think they're the best one for the job. That's not what the Bible said. It says, for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. If you'd rather never spend another minute in my presence, if you'd rather never step, rather that I never step a foot through your doorstep and sit in your living room ever again, that's fine. But there's a work to be done. God has called us to that work, and you know that God's hand of blessing is upon that work. And let's make sure that our heart condition and our careless thoughts and our loose lips don't give Satan an opportunity to disrupt and destroy that work. Amen. Amen. Listen, every one of you has been through a situation where God began to lead you to this place or wherever we used to be. He was leading you here to us in one way or another. And it wasn't any time at all until the devil pulled somebody out of the woodwork to tell you something about Brother Bob. Isn't that right? You know, we could go around the room and you could tell your story. You know, man, as soon as I started coming here, they told me you were the Antichrist. And they told me to check the palm of your hand for the mark of the beast and all that kind of stuff. You know, now you know that's the devil's work. It's the devil's work out there. Why don't we recognize it as the devil's work in here too? Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 4 is next. I tell you something else you have to keep the peace. Philippians chapter 4. You got to have a forgiving spirit. You have to have a forgiving spirit. You know what that is? You can't spend time with people without them hurting you somewhere. We all come short of the glory of God. We've all got a sin nature. We all do and say things we don't want to, or do and say things we ought not to. And we just got to be willing to forgive when someone says those things to us or about us. There will be times when it's needed. There will be occasions when you will get your feelings hurt. There will be times when people will do you wrong. Let's read it. Philippians 4, verse 2. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, here's two people at the church of Philippi, and they were not getting along. The Apostle Paul wrote to them and said, hey, you two get that thing worked out. You forgive one another. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And verse 2 of that same chapter said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You're going to have to forbear one another sometimes. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Have you ever sinned against the Lord? Has he forgiven you? Did he forgive you, but then he held it over you for the next 5 years? Did he forgive you, but then he kept reminding you of it every time he saw you? You know, did he forgive you, but every time you even looked like you were going to do something wrong, he said, oh yeah, there you go again. I remember the last time that happened. That's not the way God forgives. When God forgives, it's gone, it's over, it's done. It's as if it never happened. And that's how we need to be with each other if we're going to keep the peace. And I imagine before this thing is through, I might say something or do something to hurt your feelings. I might say something that rubs you the wrong way. I might do something that you didn't think was quite right. I might forget to shake your hand or forget to take some time to talk to you. And are you going to give me an evil stare for the next 2 weeks? Or are you going to try and be understanding and forgiving? You know, and I know people get their feelings hurt. And you know what hurts your feelings? It wouldn't even hurt mine. So I don't even think about something I did to you as being something that would hurt your feelings, you know, because it wouldn't hurt mine. That's how that works. And what hurts my feelings, maybe it doesn't hurt yours, so you wouldn't even think about it hurting me, but it did, see? We got to have grace to go and say, brother, I've been hurt. Please, I've been offended. Let's try to make this right, you know, and make it right, and get on your knees and pray the thing through and go on for God like you did before. Not, well, I forgive you, but I'm not going to do what we used to do together. Well, I forgive you, but we're not going to be friends like we were before. Well, I forgive you, but I'll never get that close to you again. Then you haven't forgiven. In your heart, it's still not covered. Put those things under the blood. Let Jesus wash them away. Amen. And one more, Colossians 3. A pacific spirit, a sense of proportion, patience, gracious speech, submission to godly rule, a forgiving spirit, and charity. Charity is the last one. I really believe that when you get home to heaven and look in God's record book, I think this church might be there. I mean, can you imagine? We've got members here from Philippines, India, USA right now. We had Koreans in here. We've had Nepalese in here. We've had other people. And we get along really well. No quarrels, no strifes, no arguments, no hint of division. No. And I'm not saying there haven't been individuals get out of sorts with one another, but there hadn't ever been anything we hadn't been able to work out. Amen? I mean, now, you know, there's no help for a couple, a married couple, that comes to you for marriage counseling, as long as they both feel that they're right. You're not going to fix that. Okay? There's no help for two brethren who are at odds, as long as they both feel that they're right. And it's not a case of figuring out which one is wrong either. It's a case of each one looking in the mirror and saying, I'm not everything Jesus Christ wants me to be. And until I'm absolutely 100% perfect like the Lord, I'm going to quit demanding that anybody else be. Amen. Charity is a good Bible word. Don't get a new Bible that says love instead of charity. Charity, it's a special love between members of the body of Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what our bond is? You know what the glue is that holds us together? It's not our knowledge. It's not that we agree on doctrine. It's not that we all dress the same. It's not that we all like the same hymns. It's not that we all enjoy the same type of preaching. It's not that we all enjoy the same activities outside the church. You know what our bond is? That we take all of our differences, that we take all the differences in our background, the differences in our viewpoint, our opinions about different things, our views about social matters. We take all those things and we make those things subordinate to our love that we have one to another. And we say it doesn't matter what kind of apartment you live in. It doesn't matter what kind of job you work. It doesn't matter what kind of education you have. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. I love you with the love of Jesus Christ above all else, because charity covers the multitude of sins. You know, I have a hard time, I guess because I don't try as hard as I should, but I have a hard time getting along with the fellows at work, or really just wanting to be in their presence. Not only do we not have anything in common, but I know they really don't love me. You know, there's no mutual love like there is within the body of Christ. You know, I try my best to get along with my family, my unsaved kinfolks and loved ones. And we get along pretty well because we generally only see each other once a year at best. But we probably couldn't spend much time together. But you know, when I come to church, I don't want more of the same. I don't need just another place to contend and quarrel and strive and fault find and nitpick. You know what we need to do? We have got to really make sure that we love one another. And I'll tell you something, it's the honest truth. You cannot pray for someone on a daily basis and not fall in love with them. Okay? You can't do it. You cannot take any single person in here and pray for that person and take them before the throne of grace and do that every single day and say, God bless him, God help him, God uphold him, God use him, God would you meet his every need. You can't do that and not fall in love with that person. And I don't care who it is. You have a problem with somebody in this church, that's the one, that's the first one you ought to take to the Lord in prayer. Okay? And there might not be any difference in the way they live, but you watch the difference God makes in your heart toward that person. And those that you like the least, those you have the hardest time feeling love for, you ought to pray for them all the more. And watch what God does. Watch how he'll change you. Because God wants peace among the brethren. And there are things that make for peace. We ought to follow those things. We ought to pursue those things. And as much as lies within us, to the best of our ability, we ought to get along. We ought to love one another. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all this wonderful instruction in the Word of God and showing us the importance of keeping peace in this body of believers and who are part of the body of Christ. Lord, help us to be more forgiving, to be more understanding. Help us to pray more for the brethren that we might learn to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.